A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can drive change or build an empire. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of That Movie Show. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe. You can follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. And today, Eddie, we're doing a recommendation by yourself.
Yeah. When I was flying down to Florida, there was a TV, and I watched this movie the way the director intended.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, on a JetBlue flight.
on an 8-inch screen on the back of a headrest.
Yeah, you know, and so just the way the director intended. And I was like, this movie is so good that, Mike, I'm really sad that you're not going to see it the way the director intended. Mm-hmm. And instead on like a real TV.
On like a 55-inch TV, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So we're not doing The Irishman because only that can be seen on a 3-inch screen, not an 8-inch screen. So you actually watched this on a bigger screen than most people probably saw The Irishman. Martin Scorsese is going to kill himself.
Yes. Yeah, probably.
I can't even get it on a plane.
Yeah. No, they didn't have Netflix, but they had Hulu.
Nice. Nice. For those of you wondering, yes, we're doing 2019's Ready or Not, one of the newer films. Like, we usually don't go this close to release.
Yeah, this movie, you know, it's funny because I think it's definitely on DVD and Blu-ray. It's probably on HBO or Showtime or one of those. We'd use the Just Watch app. Just Watch if you
just going to it. I'll tell you exactly where to find it.
If you want to sponsor That Movie Show, I use it every single time that we do one of these movies now that I've found it. Mm-hmm. So if they want to sponsor this show, please.
Please contact us.
Please. But I absolutely love it. Just a short plug for this non-sponsored app. Sure. You basically type in a movie and then it tells you where you can get this movie. You know,
so it's not available on any of the streaming services for free. The way I watched it, I rented it for $5.99 on YouTube.
Right.
Four to $5.99 seems to be the average renting price. It's available to rent on all of, like, you know, Amazon, Vudu, Google, et cetera. And you can buy it on any of those as well. But I feel if you're going to be someone, this is me and my love of physical media. If you're going to buy it for $14.99, why not go to a Best Buy, buy the Blu-ray? It comes with a DVD and a digital code for $14.99. So you get everything.
Right. You know,
that's the way I look at it. That's why it's like every time, you know, a studio will release the digital and the on demand first, I'm like, why aren't you going to wait another month and literally have it on Blu-ray and DVD?
Yeah. Oh, you're 100% right. That's the one problem with like the SAG Awards, because like you bought Joker,
mm-hmm.
You bought Joker on Blu-ray, so you're gonna get all of that fun stuff. Whereas like I got the SAG screener for it, mm-hmm. and it's just the DVD. Like I'm just getting the movie,
and which they don't even give you the cool cover.
It's like
a little CD cover.
I get a little cardboard sleeve.
Like a CD single.
Yeah, I get a sleeve, you know. But so, you know, that's the downside, you know, because that's the best part about these is like I got all the great, you know, award movies. One of the ones I'm really excited about is the movie that is making all the buzz, and that's the Korean Parasite.
Yeah, I mean, we referenced it a couple times on our Christmas watch along only because the commercial kept playing during our commercial breaks. It's winning everything.
Yeah, going into it, we knew it was the token foreign film.
Sure.
You know, but I'm really excited, you know, because I do like foreign movies, you mm-hmm. know, like I think it's funny. I forget who said it, but there's a 3-inch barrier. If you can get over the 3-inch barrier of the subtitles, you get open to a world of movies, you know, but that's it. If you can get over the subtitles, you know, there's so many things like, you know, I've talked about it on this podcast before where it's like my love of like martial arts films and Hong Kong action movies.
Sure.
And it's like, yeah, if you can get over the subtitles, those movies are awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. But today we're not doing a foreign film. We're doing a American-Canadian film?
American-Canadian film.
Ish. Ready or Not. Ready or Not was released here in the United States on August 21st of 2019. Had a budget of $6 million. It made $57.4 at the box office. And it was, let's see, directed by Tyler Gillett and Matt Matt Bettinelli Oplin.
Okay.
Not only is it a long second name, it's a hyphenated name.
Yeah.
Written by Guy Busick and R. Christopher Murphy. It stars Samara Weaving, who is fantastic, Adam Brody, Mark O'Brien, Andy McDowell, and a number of others. Right off the bat, Samara Weaving, have you seen, it's on Netflix, The Babysitter?
No.
Okay. Interesting parallels between that movie that she starred in and this movie that she starred in. Because in The Babysitter, she was like the head of this devil worshiping cult that needed a sacrifice.
Oh, and yeah. Nope. I did see this movie.
She's the victim.
Right. Yeah. And these are like the only two movies she's been in. Like, she hasn't been in like anything.
She was daughter in Three Billboards.
Oh, that's right. That's yes.
She was a daughter in Three Billboards. She's done stuff. Mostly
she's just not well known.
Yeah. Mostly TV. She did a few episodes of Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
Right.
She did 18 episodes of Smilf, 6 episodes of Panic at Hanging Rock. I don't know what that is.
Nope.
But yeah, she's in Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Oh, yes.
As the character name is Thea Preston. So apparently she's maybe a daughter.
She is. She's probably a daughter.
She's Bill's daughter. There we go. I feel that she, well, she's a great actress. I think she might get pigeonholed a little bit because she really shares a resemblance with Margot Robbie.
She definitely does.
Like every picture I see, I'm like, oh, is that Margot? No, it's not Margot Robbie.
No,
it's the other one.
Yeah. But I thought she was fantastic and she definitely carries this movie.
Oh yeah.
So well.
Very
well. I absolutely loved this movie. Let's just jump right in because
let's do it. I tried looking. There's not a lot of like, you know, trivia facts or behind the scenes stuff. So we just jump right into it, I guess.
Yeah. The biggest thing with this movie was it had a release date of August. Right. Yep. And so it was like, it felt on the surface that it was like, oh, this movie is going to get released late August. It's not, you know, it's clearly supposed to be a horror movie, like, you know, something in that should be out in October, but it doesn't quite cut the mustard. So it gets like a little bit of a release date, kind of like what you see with like The Grudge now, where it's like it gets dumped in January and it's just like, we're going to have it not be in such competitive waters. Whereas like, no, this movie was like a summer blockbuster. This thing was awesome.
I mean, it should have been. And it's interesting because I figured it, since it had an August release, I'm like, okay, well, they probably wanted the DVD to come out in October, but it came out in December. Came out December 3rd. So I don't know what the thought process was when that, because that's what Rob Zombie did with Three from Hell.
Right.
He had his limited theatrical run so that the DVD would hit shelves like 2 weeks before Halloween.
Right, so that you could catch that market.
Right.
You know, but this movie's so good because the movie starts and it is in the middle of one of these games.
Yeah, there's two children, Alex and Daniel, two little brothers, and they're running and there's some scary shit happening. They're running away from people. And then all of a sudden the people show up and they're in these weird ass masks. For you wrestling fans, they kind of look fiendish.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
you know, with like it looked like pulled skin almost.
Right. It looked like it was clearly a ritual mask. Yeah. And basically a man in a tuxedo that's already been shot with an arrow is trying to plead with one of the boys.
Right.
You know, and so
he's having none of that shit.
He's having none of that shit. And they basically just carry him away into this room.
Well, they fire a couple arrows into him.
Oh, yeah. The dude gets brutal. Oh,
they crossbow him a couple times and just kind of drag him away. We find out later what the point of dragging him away was.
But
then we just kind of smash cut to wedding day.
Yeah, it's this girl's wedding day. And, you know, basically she's. She's talking to her fiance, who is, you know, obviously one of the boys from the opening. But you find out that she's this like kind of weird, like outsider. Like she's just this girl that never had any family or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And she's going to marry into this, you know, basically Milton Bradley is, you know, they're, a,
yeah,
they're
they were based on Milton Bradley Parker Brothers.
Yeah. You know, they're a board game conglomerate that, you know, you kind of see a little bit of when they're cutting through the house of like all of the different board games, mm-hmm. you know, that they have created over the years. So they're a very wealthy family. And yeah, basically her fiance is like, look, let's not do this. Run away. Get out of here. Because he's so terrified of what's going to happen, which I was really excited about, because when we finally get to like the point of like the tradition of the family is you have to play a game on your wedding night.
Yeah, the new family member. So whoever is marrying into the family has to draw a card from this magic box or whatever.
Right.
And whatever the card says, they have to play that game. You know, chess, tiddlywinks, checkers,
whatever.
And so,
you know, I really liked that because I thought that it was more fiendish, and we'll get to it a little bit more because I think we should talk about the family and the parallels to Knives Out, we'll get to the family. But I thought it was more fiendish going into it. I thought that they like targeted this girl and they were going to do this no matter what. Whereas,
well, no, because we end up finding out that it is it's less about like, once we get to the fucking, it's less about actually killing her, but it's more about the ritual.
Right.
So they're actually not trying to kill her.
Right. They just got to find her.
Right. They have to, you know, find her, capture her, and shenanigans ensue, obviously.
Right.
It's not a, I don't know why I'm trying to not spoil this. It's like we're doing spoilers. Fuck it.
Yeah. Right.
So we've seen this story like a million times, you know,
right.
Immediately I thought of Surviving the Game. I don't know if you remember that one
with
Ice-T and fucking Charles S. Dunton and Gary Busey might've been in it.
Really?
Rutger Hauer was in it.
Okay.
Rutger Hauer. But you know, it's like you take, you know, a group of people, usually very rich. And then you take a single outsider and then you hunt them.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought it was. I thought that was going to be the thing. And again, we'll get more into the nuance of it because I love the nuance. That's the best part of this movie. But it's just like, oh, no, this guy really loves this woman. Mm-hmm. And he's terrified of what might happen. Right. Like that's the thing that he's scared of. He's not here to bring her to like malicious intent. It's not like, you know, oh, I was sent to lure you here so that we could just hunt and sacrifice you to the devil. Right. It's like
she wasn't chosen, but it's like this is part of the deal.
Yeah,
this is because you are marrying this woman, because she is marrying into the family. This is what has to happen.
Right.
Which is really fucking weird.
Right.
Because it's like on your wedding day, you might not be married at the end of it.
Yeah, right. Which brings up a bunch of questions of like, does nobody ask where these people go? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know it doesn't happen often because they break down the lineage. And I think the one that we see at the beginning was the last one.
Probably.
And that was like 30 years prior.
But it also, I mean, you say that, but it feels like, and it's through more through Daniel's character, who is the Adam Brody character. It feels like this shit has happened through his adulthood, because, I mean, he's done.
Yeah.
Like he's a full blown alcoholic that wants nothing to do with this game. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Do we have to do this? Do we have to hunt this poor girl?
Yeah. But and so that brings into the family. I mean, we meet all of the different family members.
Right.
He's the best because, yeah, he feels like he's seen some shit. I mean, he feels like he's over this, whether it's the fact that he doesn't believe in the consequences of not doing it.
Right.
Or he just thinks it's just stupid and archaic and it doesn't matter.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and so he's very interesting. He also hates his wife. But his wife clearly didn't care about the consequences.
Well, and that's something that I read, and you can kind of tell, and it might have been said, and I missed it, but I definitely read it. The character, the old man character, I don't know if it's their dad. It might be their uncle or something. Because Andy McDowell is their mom, right? Andy McDowell is the mother of the two boys, right?
Yes.
Now, is she married to the guy, the head of the table guy?
No, the head of the table guy is their dad.
It is their dad. Okay.
Yeah, that's their dad.
So basically, one of the reasons he doesn't like Grace is because she's marrying into this family out of love and not money. Therefore, right. her, you know, again, we'll get to it in the end. Therefore, it's going to be harder to turn her soul to the devil because she doesn't give a shit about the money. The Adam right. Brody's wife and the fat the guy with the crossbow, they were all in because money. Because we're marrying into this really super duper rich family.
Right.
So we don't give a shit. Yo, really, the devil? Okay, cool. I'll sign. Money.
Yeah.
She doesn't care about that. She's longed for a family.
Right. And that's what she's looking for. And so, yeah. And then you meet the crazy aunt.
She
was wonderful. Great. She reminded me of the woman from High Anxiety that played the nurse, Mel Gibson's High Anxiety. Cut. Yeah, Mel real Gibson's deep cut. I mean, not Mel Gibson, Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah, Mel Brooks. But that's who she reminded me of.
One's Jewish, the other.
Yeah.
Jesus.
a little bit. But that's what it reminded. That's what she reminded me of the entire time, and I was there for it. Yeah. So you know, they end up having a really nice wedding. Everybody likes her. Everybody goes through it, and now it's time to do the deed. Right? We're gonna play the game, and basically everybody is tense, but is just thinking it's okay. Everything's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine until she pulls the card.
Well.
Like, it doesn't seem like anybody is actually, like...
The brothers wanting. Are definitely tense. The brothers right. are more tense than there's... Now, it's your sister, right? Or sister or cousin?
Ew.
The people at the table, I never really understood everybody's relationships, except the two brothers were brothers. But Emily, who kills everybody, she was a cousin
sister.
Or sister? Okay.
So they're all they're... immediate family. They're okay. all immediate family. So
there's no... But so the aunt is the only not
immediate family,
gotcha,
right? But she's involved because the dad is
brother, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's the only one. But yeah, everybody just kind of sees. And then my absolute favorite part is she pulls the card.
Yep.
She doesn't believe it's serious, right? And everybody's reaction, this immediately turns. Did you ever see the movie Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
Love that movie. I love that. That is one when people are like, what do I need to watch on Netflix that I haven't seen yet? That's what I tell them.
Because that's kind of the tone from the family, right? Because at like the card gets pulled and they now have to go hunt this woman. Right. And
some are excited.
So, well, they're excited about it, but nobody knows exactly what they're doing. And that's the best part about it, because at no point does this family just turn into a team of assassins.
No, they're legitimate. Like they're mostly idiots.
Right.
Plain and simple. I mean, especially the kids, because they're playing who they are. They're spoiled rich kids who right. have to play this game. It's not like they're killers, except for the aunt, who clearly is really into this just murder shit.
Yeah. But you find out why later.
Right. But it's like.
Yeah.
The funniest thing is the brother-in-law. He's handed the crossbow and he's like, "How fucking old is this?"
Yeah, like
he goes to the bathroom to watch a YouTube video on how to use a crossbow.
Right, and that right there, that like subversion of expectations is what makes this movie so great, because you see both sides. Right, it's not. Like, you know, Hunter and Prey, and it's not the deadliest game, you know what right. I mean? Where it's just like, yeah, all of these hunters are now like actively hunting this person, and it's spooky and scary. It's like, yeah, the coked out sister accidentally shoots the maid in the face.
Both you instances, know? Hilarious. The second right. one, better than the first.
Right. And it's just like, you watch this movie, and you're like, wow, I was expecting this to be paint by numbers. this family's going to stalk and try and murder this person, and then this woman out of nowhere is just going to become Rambo and just figure it out.
And she really doesn't. That's one of the doesn't. Like, it's a cool twist, I guess, because like you said, you're expecting this movie to go one way, and she doesn't really figure shit out.
Because it's funny, because you think of, there's like at one point she like finds her way into a room and like finds a shotgun and like puts
straps on the bullets.
And then
a great, great moment where she's like, she's been the whole time, she's been just kind of ripping her wedding dress and turning it into tourniquets, basically.
Right.
And so she's standing there with a tattered wedding dress, her yellow Chuck Taylors, and fucking straps on the bullets, turns, looks in the mirror, and says basically what everybody in the audience was saying. Fuck.
Yeah, right.
Because, like, again, you're expecting her to be like, badass. But she's just like, oh, really?
Yeah, right.
Do I have to do this?
Right. And then, you know, you think it's like, oh, well, now this is the part where she turns it around on them. But then the shotgun doesn't work.
Shotgun doesn't work, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's just like, wow. This is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, you have the brother that doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want her to die, you know, and you find out more because it's so interesting where the family is like, look, I don't know if this is going to work, but we need to do this ritual because I heard that this other family that didn't do this ritual, something really bad happened to them. And I'm less scared about like this woman escaping and like finding the police or something.
Oh, they don't give a shit about that.
Then I am sunrise comes and are
the devil takes all of us.
You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm more afraid of. And it's great because the movie plays with that so well, because there are so many different characters that are like, this isn't real. This is stupid.
Right.
And why are we doing this? And like, no, we need to do this. I know it's stupid, but we do need to do this. Right. And it's just like, well, what happens if we don't, you know? And it just plays throughout the entire movie, and the interpersonal dynamics of the family about the morality of what they're doing when they're totally just killing each other. Like I said, it's Tucker and Dale versus evil.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because I want to say that the bride, she might just kill the butler. Maybe.
Does she?
I don't think she even kills the butler.
I mean, she definitely fucks up in the kitchen because he goes and gets her outside.
Yeah.
And then...
in the car wreck.
The car wreck. She boots him in the face a couple times in the car. Does he die there?
He might die in the car. No,
doesn't she choke him?
She might have.
I got to figure that out.
But like, that's the only person that she might have murdered, right? Like, at no point, like, the other maids, they end up getting shot in the face by the sister.
Yeah, the maid that catches a crossbow in the mouth was fucking awful. Like, I had to pause the movie. I was belly laughing at that one.
Yeah.
The coked up sister, she first of all shoots the maid.
Yeah.
I think she shoots a second maid, maybe?
Oh, yeah, probably.
And then just starts popping off in the hallway and literally drops the gun and says, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, right.
And then she's in the other room. Daniel, he goes in, he pours himself a drink, and he's just like, I'll give you 10 seconds. Go run.
Yeah,
so
right.
The bride runs, and he's like, all right, she's in here. And then they all come running into the study. Oh, we just missed her. And then the sister's like, I don't have a gun. I don't have a gun. And the husband's like, here, take my fucking crossbow. I can't work it anyway. Immediately pulls the trigger and shoots a maid in the mouth. I lost
it.
It was shit. It was awesome.
And that's the best part about this movie, is that it's just so entertaining. It just grips you from the beginning, and it just takes you throughout. You find out that the sister is batshit.
You know who? No, she never. They never really. They never revealed how the butler was killed. That we're all assuming just the car accident. Who she did kill was Andy McDowell. Remember, she bludgeoned the fuck out of her.
Yeah,
with that little toy box.
That's right. That's what. Yes. But yeah, I mean, she gets messed up in this movie, and basically, she escapes. They bring her back, like.
Yeah, it was the whole like the, for lack of a better term, the cat and mouse thing in the kitchen with the butler.
Yeah.
Awesome.
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 And
it,
but, and that's the best part of this movie is that, you know, a great movie is going to make you like have moments of tension. It's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you want to cry. It's going to make you want to scream for joy. And this movie does damn near all of that.
They, when she did finally, so she escapes the house because Alex is in the security room trying to help her out because it's all like, you know, electronic locks and they turn the cameras off and all this shit. And so he gets the door open, which I don't even think that's how she escapes. Doesn't she bust through a window or something?
She busts through a window and then she escapes through like a hole in a wrought iron fence.
Right. And so she's hiding in the barn.
Yeah.
And the little kid shows up with his mom's gun and pops her in the hand.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, this was a nitpick when it happened. She just punched the kid in the face. That to me feels like someone in a room said, we can't kill the kid.
Yeah.
We can't. Because that's like, you grab that gun and you shoot him in the face.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I definitely think
this family worships the devil and they're trying to kill you. And the little kid just fucking shot you in the hand. You're killing him.
Yeah. Oh, well, all fucks are not given.
Done.
Yeah.
No more fucks to give.
I have no more fucks to give.
That scene did also have an extremely cringy. And when scenes like this are done well, it's awesome, but it's also like, it's one of those things that you just feel it. The closest one, there's a bunch of them. But the most recent one that immediately came to mind was what I guess has been dubbed the gloving scene in Gerald's Game on Netflix. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, like I remember watching that and I'm sitting in the living room and I literally bounced off the couch and started like doing the cringy dance. It was like,
So,
and this was the same thing. So the hole
falls into the pit. Yep. So basically she ends up she's in a barn and in the barn there's a bulkhead and because she ends up getting shot in the hand, she ends up getting scared or something ends up happening, but she ends up falling through the bulkhead.
Yes.
And
yes.
So now she's in this pit where this is where they dispose of the bodies.
There's all the bodies. There's all skeletons and shit like that.
Yeah. And so now she has to try and climb out of this on a rickety ladder. Yep. And it's breaking. Mm-hmm. It's not working. And so finally she gets close enough that she can grab onto the ledge. And when she goes to grab onto the ledge, she puts her hand where the hole through the, like the hole is, there's a nail. And oh god,
she spikes the bullet hole right onto the nail. It's just
gross. So gross. It's so cringy, but it's so well done. And that's the thing. It's just like this movie has all that because it's gonna make you laugh when the sister shoots a maid in the face with a crossbow.
Hilarious.
And then you're just gonna be so gripped by this gruesome, gross thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's.
So she does. They capture her again because she burns the shit out of the butler because he was making his tea, and so he gets her. He tranquilizes her, throws her in the back seat of the car, and he's driving her. Oh, that's what it was, because she was trying to escape in the car and she hit the OnStar button or whatever they're calling it in the movie, and the guy literally shuts down the fucking car.
Yeah, which is so funny. I thought it was really funny because it was just like she called to talk about that they're trying to murder her, and they're like, "No, this car's stolen," and it's just like
this car is stolen, and he gets pissy because she's cursing at him.
Yeah, and it's just like I wonder what that would be like in that like real situation. You know what I mean? Like I was sitting there being like, I wonder if OnStar was like, no, these people are like trying to murder me. Like I'm driving down this road. I need to get to a police officer.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Right.
Just guessing, just trying to throw common sense guessing out. If this happened, if this is how this service actually works, I've never had it.
Yeah. Well, because I know that OnStar can shut down a vehicle.
Right. I mean, we've seen it in, what was it, Horrible Bosses did it, or Horrible Bosses 2, whichever one they had it. They did the same thing where they record. That's how they proved that Kevin Spacey was the bad guy, because they recorded the whole conversation.
Right.
In this situation, they shut down the vehicle. Now, my guess is that because it's a stolen car, right, and because the, if they call it in as a stolen car and OnStar is talking to you, their job requires them to shut it down because, yeah, that person in the car can say anything.
Right.
But at the same time, they probably have to call the police and have the police show up.
Right. They'd
be like, look, we have to shut the car down, but stay put. We're calling the police. Now, I mean, if she gets murdered in the process, that's on OnStar, and I'm sure there'd be a lawsuit, but whatever.
Yeah,
well, that's real life.
Yeah, right. That's the only thing is
that guy loses his $20 an hour job. Shit happens.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you didn't believe the girl that was saying people were trying to murder her. But anyway, they end up bringing her back, and they're going to sacrifice her to the devil.
Yep, because she wakes up basically on one of those pentagram deals, and they're all standing around her. They're all just fucking getting ready to get in their hoods going.
Yeah.
Daniel's wife way into it.
Yeah, she's the most into it.
So
she's a nobody too, and so she just loves the money.
Of course.
She doesn't want the money to go away.
And so Daniel dies.
So basically,
because he tries to help them.
He tries to save her.
Yeah. And
so basically they like end up putting like basically like something that's going to make them all throw up in the cups. So basically this gives them enough time to like
a light start poisoning.
Yeah, it's a light poisoning. Everybody's going to start pooping and vomiting. You know what I mean? Like that type of poisoning. And so Daniel ends up trying to like get her out of there. Mm-hmm. And I think his wife shoots him. Something like that. I can't remember. Like
that? Let me see here. I'm trying to find it.
But basically, he's trying to get Daniel to her husband. Daniel's trying to get her to her husband.
Yeah. She shoots him in the throat.
Yeah, and so he
starts bleeding out. Then Grace pistol whips the shit out of Charity. That's his wife's name. And then bludgeons Tony with an oil lamp.
Yes,
that starts the fire.
Right, and so that starts the fire, and so then she runs off into the like the study or the den,
and that's where so that's where she runs into Andy McDowell, beats her to death with the box.
Yes.
Now here's where a good twist comes up.
Yeah.
Because the husband Alex shows up, finds his brother dead.
Yes.
And then walks in and finds his new wife over the dead body of his mom.
Yeah.
And he's just like, fuck it. Well, she's in here.
Well, the thing is that they have a conversation and he just wanted to get her out.
Right.
He just wanted to get her out, get her away. Cause he doesn't believe in any of the satanic stuff at all. And so his whole thing is like, you're going to leave me now.
Like, oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, you're gonna leave me now after all of this. And she's just like, basically, yeah,
dude.
Yeah. And so when she basically says, like, yeah, this is I'm done, he's like, oh, well, then we're gonna go through with this. And he like flips a switch because he's like, I loved you, and if I can't have you, I'm going to side with my family. And it's crazy because this is the most batshit part of the movie because they end up stalling, you know, enough for sunrise to happen. Yeah. And the entire family is there. And the entire time I am waiting for this, like basically nothing to happen.
Right.
And like, it's just like, wow, you're a bunch of psychos. And because that's the way this movie's trending. This movie has been trending that it's like, oh yeah, these people are a bunch of idiots, and then they've been murdering people for a satanic ritual that means
nothing. For generations.
For generations, and it was just a stupid thing that they were doing.
Right.
You know? And then all of a sudden, everybody...
So basically, so what Eddie is saying is, your beliefs are stupid.
Yeah. Yes. Satanic ritual people.
What you believe in, your devils or gods, is silly nonsense.
Silly nonsense. But then, in a subversion of expectations, which is this entire movie,
yep,
people start exploding.
Yep.
They start violently just exploding in yep. a blood and muscle and goop.
Yeah, they turn into somebody needs to get a fucking mop. These people be dead.
And it is beautiful.
Yep.
Everybody in this family just starts dying and just like it's awesome. And then after all of that, in a beautiful, beautiful payoff, Satan shows up in a chair and winks at her. And she's just like, fuck this, and leaves.
Yup. Straight up. He shows, he's like, hey, bro. I got a few more souls.
It was like Buddy Christ at the end of Dogma.
Very much.
It was just like, this dude winks and like finger guns her. And then she's just like, I'm leaving.
I cannot do this.
And then finally the police show up.
Yeah. And she's just done. So she's just sitting on the steps, smoking, bleeding, in her wedding dress. And we end with her bathed in cop lights at this point.
Yeah, that's the end of the movie.
That is Ready or Not.
This movie was amazing.
It was really good.
This is definitely one of my top five movies of 2019.
I think we said off air, you have 10 top fives. You understand that?
Yeah, I have top five. I can do the top five.
All right.
Jojo Rabbit.
Are these in order?
No, I don't have an order yet.
Okay.
But Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
Knives Out.
Knives Out.
Avengers Endgame. Ready or Not.
Yep.
John Wick 3.
Solid list.
Yes.
Solid list. Most of the three of them were released like in the back half of the year.
Yeah, these movies were fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. Ready or Not, I would recommend buying it.
Highly, highly recommend it. Go check it out as soon as possible. Buy it, rent it, whatever you got to do. Just go see it.
Definitely. Definitely. So any final thoughts on Ready or Not?
You know, I just love when a movie kind of comes out of nowhere and kind of grips you that way. I mean, that's kind of how I felt about the original John Wick.
Yep.
You know, where it's just like, oh, this movie's going to be very, very mediocre. It's going to be very paint by numbers. And then they take a tried and true formula. Somebody comes along with a vision that just kind of is like, no, I'm going to do something that's different. It's going to be the same, but it's going to be different. And, you know, the execution matches, you know, and it just is entertaining from start to finish.
I agree. And the nice thing was decent runtime.
Yeah.
Hour 35 in and out. What a movie of this genre in this style should be.
Right.
Like you know, we've talked about it on the show, and especially recently with movies like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and The Irishman and Endgame being over 3 hours long and people having problems with the length. And it's like, well, you can't say a movie's bad because it's long, but there are some movies where it's like this was the perfect time. It didn't need any more. You didn't need to pad any story. You didn't need any backstory. You got the point.
Yeah. There was nothing in this movie that, like, it was lean. It was a lean movie because everything fed into each other. Like, everything was there for a reason, and there's nothing that I could have been like, yeah, but we didn't need this scene, you know? But
lean, mean genre flick.
Yeah. Which sometimes that's what you need on a Friday night.
Sometimes that's exactly what you need, especially on a flight home.
Yeah.
I can't believe you watched this on a plane. That's funny.
Watched it on a plane. I also watched Anna and the Apocalypse.
Ooh. You mentioned, I remember when that trailer came out, you got excited about that. Okay, so I think we're, because I just noticed, I think it's on Amazon Prime, and I added it.
Yes.
So I'm going to watch it. We're probably going to add it to our list.
We're going to have to
review. Quick synopsis, what'd you think?
That movie was also as delightful as I wanted it to be. I was looking for just kind of like a fun take on a zombie movie. Zombie movies aren't necessarily my thing. Mm-hmm. I think that they've just in the recent decade, they've been oversaturated with stuff like The Walking Dead and various movies. And, you know, if you went, you know, it was a huge thing when I went to film school, everybody was like, oh, in the zombie apocalypse, I'm going to be so ready. And it's just like fictional characters, you know what I mean? And so it's just like, I just knew too many of those people.
The trailer had a lot of Shaun of the Dead feels.
Yeah, it was Shaun of the Dead. If it was also a musical, I like weird, I like nonsensical movies, you know, and this is, it's a zombie musical. You know, I thought that, you know, we'll get my full thoughts on the actual movie, but it was definitely worth a watch, but it was a little weird, and cool. That's exactly what I needed.
Cool. This week I watched a few. I watched The Beach Bum. Okay. Matthew McConaughey does Hunter Thompson type of movie. The best way I can sum it up is it looks like a lot of fun to get high with Matthew McConaughey, Snoop Dogg, and Jimmy Buffett, because that's what 90 minutes of this movie is.
That sounds amazing.
That's the best way I could describe it. It's a fun 90-minute ride if you just want to get high and chill out. I also watched The Fanatic.
Okay.
That John Travolta, directed by Fred Durst movie.
Yeah, weird.
It just got made available to Amazon, along with that Chickless Willis movie that we talked about a couple months ago.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
also on Amazon Prime, so we're going to check that out this week. I have a ton of thoughts on The Fanatic. It's one of those things, if you watch it, we'll add it to the list. If not, I might have to do a Movies with Mike type of review, because this fucking movie.
Yeah.
That's John Travolta, I'm so like sad for him, because he can't seem to pick movies anymore.
No.
And I really like him as an actor when he can pick a movie.
Yeah.
Like whoever is managing his selections needs to be fired.
Probably him. But I also saw
he needs an adult.
Yes, he does need an adult. I also saw Uncut Gems.
Ooh.
The Adam Sandler movie that was getting all of the like he should get an buzz. Oscar. That movie was nonsensical. Like
in a good way?
Not in a good way. It didn't make a lot of sense. You know, he was fine as an actor. Like, you know, if you told me that he was going to get nominated for something, sure. But the movie wasn't great.
Okay.
That's kind of a bummer. Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't a great movie.
That's a bummer. Well, next week.
Yeah.
Next week, Bad Boys 3, a.k.a. Bad Boys for Life, hits theaters. So we're taking a trip back to 1995.
It's so disappointing that that movie is called Bad Boys for Life, but it's the third one.
It is the third one.
I know.
They're getting old. For Life could be next month for, you know.
I know, but it's like, but I just don't like when movies have the title like so close. Because like, how did we name the movie Happy Feet 2 instead of 2 Happy Feet? You know what I mean?
This is why they need to pay us for these types of ideas.
You're 100% right.
We need to be in those boardrooms for those meetings. But we're checking out Bad Boys, 1995, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, and directed by Michael Bay. So that's going to be coming up next week on That Movie Show. Thank you for joining us for Ready or Not. You can follow us on social media at Mike Wendt, at The Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show, where you can suggest movies for us to review, to watch, and to have fun with. ThatMovieShow.net is the website. You can also find links to the audio podcasts. We are literally on every audio podcast. Not only do you get these review shows, you also get the radio show on Saturday mornings where we cover current events in movies and award shows and stuff like that.
All sorts of stuff.
Stuff and things, shenanigans and fun. ThatMovieShow.net. Before we go, any final thoughts, Eddie?
No, we'll be talking about the Oscar nominations on the next week's episode of the radio show. Mm-hmm. So tune into that.
Cool. See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Once upon a time in a convenience store, a woman asked, "Which zero-calorie drink will I like more?" The cashier said, "I have a thought. Coke Zero Sugar always hits the spot." The taste made her heart fill with laughter, and with her Coke Zero Sugar, she lived happily ever after. Coca-Cola Zero Sugar, unbelievably delicious.
No trip to the store is complete without the unbelievably delicious zero-calorie taste of Coke Zero Sugar.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.